I want this team to be a team that the Irish public are really proud of. I won't accept that we can't play from the back or we can't pass the ball.
I did it at Dalymount Park and rolled one into his own net.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power's Save Our Game. Donating at least 100,000 to Irish football via England Goals this summer. Gamble responsibly. GamblingCare.ie.
Now, we'll turn to the football. England 4, Ukraine 0 at the Stadio Olimpico in Rome last night. Harry Kane scored in the first few minutes after a Raheem Sterling pass. The Ukraine defending wasn't up to much there. Then Harry Maguire with a header in the first minute of the second half from a free kick. The third goal was a Harry Kane header. Luke Shaw with the cross. It was good English football. And then Jordan Henderson, free header from a corner with the fourth. His first goal for England. So 4-0 win. Job done early on in this game. Substitutes made by the hour mark. England will play Denmark on Wednesday in the semi-final at Wembley. And before that, on Tuesday, we'll have Italy against Spain. Spain threw on penalties against the Swiss. And then the Friday evening game was Italy 2, Belgium 1. Really enjoyable game. Very happy to say, and it's been too long since we've had a conversation on the radio. John Giles is with us. Hiya, John.
How are you, Joe?
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Joe.
Everyone
well?
Very well, very well. Everyone I talk to is enjoying this tournament.
Yes. Well, there's been some very, very good games in it, Joe. I think once you get out of the group stages, then it picks up great. And we had two great games last week, didn't we, when we had, who was involved in it? Spain, wasn't it? Spain and
Croatia.
I can't remember the other.
Yeah, it was Spain and Croatia, and then we had the madness of France, Switzerland.
Yeah, well, Croatia were brilliant, Joe, to do what they did in them. I think they were 3-1 down with 10 minutes to go, pulled back in, went to extra time, and it was a bit similar in the next match. So they were the highlights so far in terms of matches. Really, really good games, exciting games, plenty of good football in it. So I think that really picked the tournament up, those two particular games.
You're obviously watching the game a long time, even just as a pundit. Is the quality of football good? Is the way teams are trying to play the game good?
Well, I'd be mixed about it, Joe, to be honest. I think Italy have made a big change in the way they played before. When they went to goal up over the years, Joe, they'd sit back and they'd defend. And they're not doing that now. If they get a goal, they're going for the next one or whatever it might be when they have a chance to attack. So they've changed in that way. But I definitely find most of the other teams, Spain included, that keeping possession seems to be the major idea of what they're doing. And I get frustrated watching it sometimes, Joe, particularly midfield players, when the ball comes to them. You know, when I was a kid growing at Manchester United, Jimmy Murphy was a great coach. And he used to say, John, you've got to get turned around as much as you can. Face where you need to be going forward. So to make a forward pass. Mm. And I find now with most midfield players, Joe, when they get it, they seem to be the main thing in their head is keeping possession. Mm. Spain particularly, funny enough. You know, Spain, I have written down like tippy-tappy. They've got a lot of good players, but it seems to be a moment they have a chance to go forward, a 50-50 chance of going forward, a 50-50 chance of going back, Joe. Mm. They go back. So now you're starting all over again. You know, the ball goes out to a winger like in my day, when you got the ball out to him, he's supposed to do his stuff, go past the back. Now it's stopped, and there's very few wingers anyway. Pass it back in, pass it back in. I've seen them near penalty areas at times, Joe. Yeah, finish up and back near their own goalkeeper. So not all of the team. And there's some very, very good players as well. But I think there's too much of that. Mm. I'm seeing too much of that, particularly from Spain.
Right, interesting. Well, it was notable last night. England get off to the perfect start against what seems like not a great start. And then for the next 44 minutes of that first half, probably doing what you're talking about a little bit, they didn't go for the jugular.
No, it seems to be part of the culture of the game now, Joe, that, you know, keeping possession. And I think the statistics come into it, actually, that, you know, a player gets the ball and instead of making a forward pass that's a bit chancy, he'll give it to the fullback. That's a pass completed. And stats have come into the game in a big way, I think, in the coaching situation as well. So, like in England's case, they did get off to a good start. But then, see, I think England lack a bit of creativity in the middle of the field, Joe.
Yeah.
I think Rice is a very, very good player. I think Phillips is a very good player. But you don't see them as, you know, in the old days, schemers, going past somebody, making a through pass. You know, they're good players, very good players, but they don't have that creativity. But the thing is with England have some very good players apart from the midfield players, Joe.
Mm.
They do have players. There was the lad Sancho.
Yeah.
He can go past people.
Sterling.
Quite a few of them. Sterling can.
Yeah.
You know, they've got quite a few players that can go past players. You know, Foden, Saka can when he's on.
Yeah, Grealish, of course.
Yeah, Grealish can, Mount can.
Foden.
But I think England have really, really good players, Joe, particularly young players who can beat players and go past players more so than any other of the countries.
Yeah. So do you think it's fair enough then that Southgate has said to himself, right, pragmatism is going to rule the day here. I'm going to sit with Phillips, I'm going to sit with Rice, and it's safety first, and eventually one of the better players further up the field will get the ball and they can do their stuff then, and I don't need to take chances here because I have enough quality up front to just mind the house first. That's my primary aim here. Is that fair enough approach for tournament football?
Well, I'm not so sure it's his approach anyway, Joe, to be honest.
Right.
I think, you know, he, first of all, he's got really, really good defenders. You know, if you go back to the fullbacks, Joe, you've got, you know, Trippier, Walker, Shaw, Chilwell. I think Chilwell is the best of them.
Right.
And he hasn't had a game yet.
No.
And you've got Maguire coming back into the team along with this. So they've got some very, very good... I think where he's blessed, like most managers, if they're going to be blessed, is having good players, Joe. Now, I must say, I don't agree with everything he does. My take on football is that when you get a group of players, you try to come to the conclusion as quickly as you possibly can, which is my best 11.
Mm.
And you play them as much as you can, Joe. Now, I know these are difficult circumstances, the tournaments, where players might get injured. But if you go to his first match... You know, he played Trippier, and I think I don't know who he played at left back.
He put Trippier at left back, actually, beside Tyrone Mings.
Trippier, yeah.
And he'd Walker at right back.
Yeah, the next match, he changed the two fullbacks totally.
Mm.
Right? Now, they weren't injured. They weren't tired at that particular stage, Joe. Now, I don't think that's good management. I think you've got to play your best team as much as you possibly can, given the circumstances. Because what I find with football, Joe, every team... Football is made up of a million little things, small things, right? And the more the team plays together, the more you can put things right. You know, you never get a perfect game, Joe. When you have a team playing for you, it's never perfect.
Mm.
You know, all players make mistakes, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. And the more games you play, the more you put it right. Now, what I find with Southgate, he never plays the same team.
No.
2 days running,
no.
Two matches running,
no.
Right? So you're on a wing and a prayer when you're doing that, Joe, to be honest.
So the good thing about him, he has
really good players,
yeah.
Joe.
So you have that down as more winging a prayer than a manager who's very cleverly picking different team to suit different matches.
Definitely.
And opposition. Right,
definitely.
Interesting.
I think picking a team, Joe, picking different teams for different situations is nonsense.
He said a very interesting thing after the Germany win. He was talking to ITV. And he was saying, you know, this was when he had this was the one game where he had the three at the back. And he said afterwards, if we had lost today's game with that team selection and with that team shape, I know I'm dead. And where I thought, in fairness to him, at least he has the courage of his convictions. He's not listening to everybody saying pick Grealish, pick Foden. He's not listening to people saying go for it. He may be wrong, he may be right. But in fairness to him, he's picking Trippier because he thinks it's the right thing to do in that game. He's going to three at the back against Germany and leaving out some attacking players because he thinks it's the right thing to do. And
yeah.
I don't know if that could always be said for English managers in the past because the media is so in their face.
There's two ways of looking at it. You know, if he's saying, right, this is what I believe to be right, right? And my take is it because if you're playing to change the players, it's totally wrong. Now, I understand what you're saying. He has the courage to do what he believes to be right,
yeah.
which is good.
Yeah.
All managers should do that. But I'm looking from a distance, and I think the right thing to do is pick your best players, right?
Mm.
And play them as much as you can together.
Yeah, get the chemistry going.
What he might be saying there is, I'm looking at the opposition, so therefore I'm picking the team in relation to the opposition, right? Now, this is wrong.
Really? That's interesting, because I know a lot of people would think, well, it's actually shrewd management to adjust to different opposition.
Now, why should you adjust to different opposition, Joe? You know, you're the team, you're the players, you've got your players playing a certain way. This is my best team. Mm-hmm. And I'm only giving you my take on it now. He's wrong and I'm right. But my take on football is you find out what your best team as much as you possibly can. Mm. And, Joe, you do what you want to do. Mm. And if you believe that's the right, they're their best players and that's the right thing to do, then you don't look at the opposition that much.
Yes.
I think it's overrated, Joe.
Do you? Right, okay.
Oh, definitely. I think if you've got, especially the players he has,
yeah,
you know, you've got to dictate to them rather than you saying, well, I'm going to play to their situation.
Yeah. Something I really wanted to ask you about, and you may have answered this already in what you've said about Phillips and Rice in the midfield, to be fair, but say, comparing England with, say, Italy at the moment. I watch Italy, and we'll get on to Italy, by the way, in a bit more depth in a moment. But Italy, at times, they look like, in possession, with short passes, they can go from back to front very quickly, very nicely. They make it look very easy. And there's times I'm watching England the other night, last night, and there's a lot of just passing from Luke Shaw to the two centre-halves and over to Walker and back again. And they seem to find it quite difficult to move up the pitch with the ball. And I don't know, is that down to Rice and Phillips or what it is? But there's times where you're looking at England saying, geez, they're finding hard work here to move the ball up to their better players.
Well, I think that's a fair point, Joe, because Phillips and Rice are not particularly schemers, as we used to call them, you know, to get on the ball and turn on the ball and do that. But what they do have in the team when they're playing is Grealish or Saka, one or two of the other players there, Joe.
Sterling.
That's are good on the ball themselves to get it turned. Obviously, the ideal situation would be to have, you know, two Graeme Souness and say a Brian Robson in the middle of the field that can turn on the ball and get it from back to front.
Yeah.
Like Rice and Phillips are good at what they do.
Mm.
Like Phillips particularly winning. Well, Rice wins it very, very well.
Yeah.
That's what their game is. But when they have the players in that they have, Joe, and you've got Foden and Xhaka and Sanchez and Mount, all these guys can turn on the ball.
Yeah. And I would have thought Rice should have it in his locker to do a bit more on the ball.
I don't think so.
No.
I think he's really, really good. Midfield player at what he does. Actually, I think Rice's best position is in the middle of the back four, Joe.
Right.
But that's by the way, because, you know, the further you go back, when he has the skill, everything is in front of you. The further you go back, the easier it should be if you have the ability to do certain things.
Mm.
But he's an all-round player in the middle of the field. And so is Phillips. I mean, Phillips is more a tackler. I find with Phillips, he's a young fella. His distribution is brilliant, Joe.
Mm.
When he gets on the ball in the right position.
Yes.
But getting on the ball in the right position is very difficult because that leads you into a position that you can deliver the long passes. He does it now and again, but he's more a winner of the ball now, and Rice is more a winner of the ball in the England team as well than being creative, Joe.
Yeah.
But they have players around them, especially like with England. They play two players wide now most of the time.
Mm.
It's either Foden or Xhaka. Or Sancho, is it Sancho, that last name?
Yeah, Jadon Sancho, yeah.
You know, these are all good players. Grealish is very good in a wide position. So, they'll always have two players, no matter who he picks, good in those positions. And if you have people good, the midfield players are not called upon to do much, Joe.
Yeah. Before we leave England, Harry Kane and Sterling. So Kane suddenly has 3 goals in 2 games and will be feeling good about life again. Was he in as bad a form as everybody was making out, or were you a bit worried about him?
I think he was wrong to substitute him, Joe, at one of the matches.
Yeah,
I would have lived with Kane for what he can do and what he has done, Joe. Of course, every player goes through spells, specifically strikers, if they're not scoring goals. That they're not in the best of form.
Mm.
And he wasn't in the best of form, I think, for the first and second match. But I'd live with him.
I don't think
Harry Kane has suddenly changed in the last few days where he scored no goals and then scores 3 goals.
Yeah.
He's been too long at it, Joe. You know what I mean? I think you've got to live with guys, particularly Kane. There's some lads come in as young lads and they're inconsistent. and you know, with a couple of games, bad games, you take them off. And I don't think he should have done that with Kane. Mm. Kane wasn't playing well, but the team wasn't playing well, Joe. No. And as a striker, you're dependent on supply. And he wasn't getting any supply, you know, particularly in the Scottish match in that.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, because I was watching the BBC and a few different pundits were saying it. Shearer was saying it. And in fairness, look, who's anyone to question Shearer about being a striker? And but even Jermaine Genus was saying it in the BBC commentary. They were saying... And it,
Joe, can I just interrupt you
go
there?
Go on, yeah.
I would never deny anything but Shearer as a player. But I deny him a lot as a pundit.
Fair enough. Well, he was saying...
And the other guy you mentioned
Genus,
there.
Yeah. Well, they were both...
Sorry, go on anyway,
well,
Joe.
They were both saying, to be fair, and I questioned it in my mind because Kane seems like a very honest player. They were saying Kane's not working hard enough to create chances for himself. And I thought, like, against Germany at the Euros, I would think Kane's working as bloody hard as he could, you know?
No, that was nonsense, Joe. I mean, I heard Shearer saying one time that the first thing to do is get the ball across. Well, that's an easy thing to say. That's not working out Kane's problems. Mm. The problem with Kane was he wasn't getting the supply from anybody.
Yeah.
And he never played in a game where he was getting high crosses across. So Kane has been playing the game too long, Joe, and being very successful at what he does, to suddenly become a dodo on the pitch, not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
It's too easy to say that, you know, because it's a complicated game in Kane's place, because he's a forward. He's dependent on supply. And in Scotland, particularly, England didn't play well. He didn't get any supply. And if he's not scoring goals after one or two matches, what's wrong with Kane?
Yeah.
Like, he did look a little bit tired in one or two of the matches, I must say. But I would never have taken... I would never take a Kane off with 15 minutes to go.
No, no, he's too good.
He has the reputation. He's earned that reputation to not play so well, particularly as a striker, you know, to not score goals. Oh, it's the hardest thing in the game to score goals. Now he's come in with three. Now he's a genius again.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it works in football, but it shouldn't from the managerial point of view. You know, I think it was wrong to some, but that's one of the few mistakes Southgate has made. I mean, what he's done very well. I think he's a good lad, Joe. I think he's a humble lad. He does the best that he possibly, as he sees it. There's no crap about him at all. Now, he's very good. It's just that when you break down what he's done, and again, I'd go back, Joe, and I'm repeating myself a lot. When you take over a group of players, Joe, you have to find out as quickly as you possibly can who are my best team, and you play them as much as you possibly can, because you're never ending in what they do wrong. Mm. It's made up of a million or more little things, football, soccer team, and you never get it right. You learn from match. That's my take on it. And that hasn't happened. But he's very, very fortunate in that he's got really, really good players, Joe. And any team he picks is going to give him a show.
Yes. One player he has stuck by. And so you think of the other side where it's Foden and then it's Grealish and then it's Saka and then Jadon Sancho. One man he has stuck by, even though he didn't have a great finish to the season at City, was Raheem Sterling. And in fairness, Sterling's delivered here for him. How highly do you rate Raheem Sterling?
I think from Christmas to the end of the season with City, he was dreadful. Dreadful, Joe. He never tried a leg. Now, I don't know what's happened. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he fell out with Guardiola. And I saw near the end of the season, there was talk that he could be one of the players that City would let go.
Seems that way, yeah.
Right. Now, when he started playing, I thought he was totally wrong, Southgate, to pick Sterling. Sterling was dreadful in the European Cup, Joe. He was terrible the whole season. Mm. I thought he was dreadful. He wasn't trying a leg. And I wouldn't have played him at all in the international team. But he played him. And he started to be the Sterling that we know we can be. And when he's that player, Joe, he's very, very good.
Yeah.
He's very good. There were spells for City, he was excellent. I don't know what happened, but he seemed to stop playing from Christmas on. Now he's come back and he scored the first three goals for it, and has played at his best, in my opinion. And Sterling at his best is very, very good.
Mm. And one last one. Manchester United fans might be curious for your thoughts on Jadon Sancho last night.
I didn't see much of him.
No,
I haven't seen that's the first time I've really seen him play, Joe. And he looks very, very promising. I thought he was good in the England shirt. He looked like a player that could go past player, which you don't see many past people, and you don't see many of those players now.
No.
You know, they're priceless, and he looks like he has that, Joe. Now he was only on for one match. That's the only time I've seen him, and I've heard great reports on him. But he definitely looks like a player that can go past people. And they're very few and far between nowadays.
So how do you see England-Denmark then?
I see England winning, Joe. I can't see any of the teams that's in it capable of beating England at their best. I think Denmark will give them a good game, Joe, because we've got the Christian... Christian Eriksen spirit there. Mm. And that's very hard to beat. You know, this is a genuine thing with these lads who obviously he was a well-respected player that had almost a tragedy. Well, it was a very, very bad situation. Probably never play again. And they definitely are a team with a spirit that's going to be very hard to beat. But I think England will have too much for them, Joe.
The other semi-final then on Tuesday, Italy against Spain. So Italy-Belgium on the Friday night. Compared to what we saw last night between England and Ukraine, that was like slow motion compared to the Italy-Belgium game.
Yeah, well, Belgium were disappointing, Joe. I mean, to be fair, De Bruyne, I think, had an injury. Mm. He didn't look right, Joe. He, you know, when they needed him most, he wasn't there. And I think it had a lot to do with his injury. Mm. And it was a disappointing game, Joe. But I think Belgium generally... maybe are past it now, Joe. They have a few players who are getting on a little bit, but I don't think certainly didn't live up to their reputation in the matches that I saw them play, and I thought Italy deserved to beat them.
Mm. This Italy team are great to watch. They just have a lot about them. I was sorry to see. I don't know if you heard Spinazzola, the left back. He's on crutches now, so he's out of the tournament.
Got a bad injury, Joe. He's
gone now. He's ruled out. They released a video of him walking into the team room there on crutches, and all the other teammates got up and gave him a hug. So he's gone, unfortunately.
Oh yeah, he had a very bad injury, Joe. He cracked. What was it? One of the bad injuries in football. Anyway.
He's done something anyway. I'm not too sure what. Might be the Achilles. I'm not sure.
He's actually standing, I think.
Right. So he's gone really anyway.
Oh, yeah. He'll be gone for a good while.
Why are this Italian team so good then?
Well, I think first of all, they're different from the Italian teams of old, Joe, who were score a goal and defend for the rest of the game. You know, I think with Mancini, the manager, I think he stopped that, Joe. You know, I think he stopped the Italian way, as we would call it, to say, look, we're going to go for goals. We're going to defend as well, and we're going to go for goals. Mm. And that you can see that change in them. But they've got good players, Joe. Mm. I mean, they've still got the two lads at the back, Cellini and
Benucci.
The two lads really, really. Now they're still playing well, Joe. Mm. So that's a great start for them. Mm. And they have really good players in the middle of the field as well.
I wanted to ask you about them. So there's Barella, who's come in and made a big impression on people.
Yeah.
Verratti is back in, and he's keeping Lacazette out now, who'd scored those two goals early on. So Barella and Verratti, and then Jorginho. I had often thought that the verdict was out a bit on Jorginho at Chelsea, but he looks a good player at this tournament.
He's playing better for Italy than he has done for Chelsea.
Yeah.
I think, again, it could be the manager's influence. That's what managers do. Because what are you doing now? He's turning on the ball a lot more. He's expecting more of himself to go past people, you know, and to be more positive on the ball. Like, when I see him playing with Chelsea, it's A to B, B to A.
Yeah.
And you know, not really getting forward. I'd say his stats are brilliant at Chelsea. Never giving the ball away, you know. But not really... playing as a midfield player that looks like he's going to score a goal or make a goal. Now, I think Mancini's got onto him and said, look, I expect more of you. I don't want you to turn on the ball. I want you to pass the ball forward. I want you to get up there and do it. And he's looking a different player. There's no doubt about that. And Verratti's good, is good as well. He's in the middle of the field. Mm. So, like, when they play England, I think they could control the middle of the field, Joe.
Right.
Against Rice. But I'm not so sure they'd be allowed to. You know, but they have the ability that, I mean, if England, for example, with the two players they had the ability that Verratti and Jorginho have, now England, it would be unbeatable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the thing that I think defensively they're very good, Joe, they've got those players in the middle of the field, where are the goals going to come from, Joe? This is the problem they have.
You're not convinced on Immobile?
I think he's okay, but he's not a Harry Kane. He's not one of the great goal scorers, you know?
No.
And I think the best man from the goal scoring point of view is Chiesi. Is it Chiesi?
Oh, yeah, Chiesi. Yeah, yeah, on the right wing.
Yeah. He looks the more likely to score from them than any of the other forwards that I've seen.
Yeah.
And he's good at it, Joe. I mean, he scored two or three goals for them already.
Yeah.
Apparently, the first time I saw him, I liked him. He scored a goal. He came on a sub.
Yeah, it was a good goal. But
apparently, he was sold. Well, he moved from to Juventus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think for 45 million, Joe, I read. This lad. His father, apparently, was an international player.
That's right. He was at Euro 96, yeah.
Yeah, he scored at Liverpool. I just read that the other day. But I think this lad is a good player, Joe.
Mm.
And he's come in. He came in as a sub the first time. And the lads who have come in as subs are the ones that have scored the goals for them.
Yeah.
So, that obviously, that's a huge difference. But they do go for the goals. And they do have midfield players that could cause problems for England. That could do, but I just feel England have got too much all round for them, Joe. But it'd be a terrific match. I think I'm really looking forward to that game.
Mm.
But so, they have changed their way. No, there's no doubt. The Italians over the years, Joe, as we know, score a goal and they could defend for the rest of the game.
Mm.
This guy's not allowing them to do it. He's saying, when we have a chance to go forward, we're going forward. It's a different type of Italian team than we've seen in the past. And they've gone with 32 games unbeaten, Joe.
Yeah, it's a crazy record. And, you know, further to your point, it was interesting the other night that even Tielemans was taken off. There were times where, because I'm sure you're always watching the midfield very closely, so I was looking at Tielemans and Witsel, the two Belgium midfielders. And so they have the three lads we've mentioned to contend with, but then it seemed like Insigne was coming off his wing, and it seemed like Chiesa was coming in at times off his wing, and the two fullbacks were bombing on. It sort of felt like Tielemans and Witsel were thrown to the wolves a little bit. They were just completely outnumbered there for a lot of that game, and yeah. Italy just made it look very easy, just loads of options.
Joe, I don't think they're top midfield players, Joe.
Do you not? Right.
No. They're okay.
Yeah.
And I know Tielemans scores a great goal in the cup final, and he's capable of doing that now and again. But he won't dominate a game, Joe. He won't control a game. Neither will the other fella.
Yeah, okay, interesting. They're
okay. They're okay, but okay. But they're not. They hadn't got what Italy had in the middle of the field.
Mm.
They've really got good skill in the middle of the field, Joe.
It's an interesting thing. Like, a theme here in this chat is midfielders forgetting about the stats and just having a certain bravery or conviction in their play to get turned and play the ball forward. And, and like, it makes such a difference to how a team operates.
Well, I think central midfield players, Joe, are the most important players in the team. They're asked to do things to connect the back to the front. That's what you have to do in football. In other words, the backs have it. They're defenders, right? Some of them are good on the ball, but they're not creative on the ball. If they were really creative on the ball, they wouldn't be playing at the back, Joe. So the hardest thing in football as a midfield player is what makes the really good midfield players. They receive the ball in positions that they can turn around and look forward and play the ball forward. In other words, and that's positional sense, Joe. You don't hear many people talking about positional sense, but as a player, particularly a midfield player, it's the most important situation. There's only one ball on the pitch, Joe. And you see, bad midfield players will receive the ball with players around them. They have to play it backwards.
Mm.
The top midfield players receive it with space. They can turn. Now you're going forward.
Yeah.
And Italy have that. The two lads you mentioned, don't have that.
Fair enough.
So, but Italy have it. The big thing about England is going to be, are they going to be allowed to do it? That's going to be the crunch situation.
And so it's interesting here that we're bypassing Spain. So you definitely don't think Spain are going to trouble Italy.
Well, I wouldn't write them off, Joe.
But
I
mean, not a big chance
players,
anyway.
But I think they have a tippy-tappy way of playing. I think the manager's encouraging.
Mm.
Morata is their main goal scorer.
Yeah.
And he's only scored one goal so far. So they've a shortage of scoring goals. I mean, when I watch them, they get into good positions and then they pass it sideways and go backwards again.
Yeah.
That's what I see in Spain. Obviously, they've got some very good players, very, very skillful players, Joe. But I can't see them breaking down Italy, in because I think that it's possession. Now they got some, they got some good midfield. Cassidy's a good midfield player, and the young kid.
Yeah, they their midfield three would be Busquets and then Koke, who's obviously a good player, and Pedri at 18 is there as well.
Yeah, but he's one for the future, Joe. Definitely.
Yeah,
he's the real McCoy. But I don't think they've been encouraged by the managers to do. You see Jorginho play now in a different way than he's due to Chelsea. I think the managers got onto him and said, this is what I want you to do. Now, I think Spain has been encouraged, the Spanish players have been encouraged to do the opposite to what the Italian manager is telling Jorginho to do.
Yeah, it's funny because Busquets was talking before the tournament and he was trying to say that he's now trying to pass the ball forward more in Spain, or trying to pass the ball forward quicker, but you're not quite seeing that.
Well, I don't see it.
Yeah.
Now, whether they've been told to do it but I don't see it, Joe, it's the big thing against him. I mean, the young kid is a really good player, but he's not going to dictate the play in the way that's needed to be done. He's a bit young for that.
Yeah.
But that's the way I see Spain. I think that I've written down a couple of times, I'm tippy-tappy. Loads of possession, but not really getting the business done.
Yeah, yeah. So Pedri's going to be the real deal then? You really like him?
Oh, yeah. I think he'll be the... Him and the young kid at Chelsea, Gilmore.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be there. He's gone out on loan to
Norwich.
Norwich this year. I think he's... See, there's very few people have that positional sense, Joe, that to get into a position, first of all, they have to have the skill to get out of difficult situations. But 90% of the game as a midfield player of that type is to get into a position to receive the ball. And it's the hardest, because when you're playing on the pitch, Joe, as you know, there's 20 outfield players. You're all competing for space. There's only one ball and the space, but you'll see the great midfield players. He played against Croatia last week, and Modric was playing. Now, Modric has been the best of his generation, Joe, even in the matches that they played recently. And apparently he's nearly 36 now.
Yeah.
Positional sense. When he receives the ball, there's nobody near him. How did he do that? Because he's reading the game. If I don't get the ball off the right back, where's the ball going? So I'm going to be where the next player gets it to receive it. And you wouldn't even notice him doing it, Joe.
No,
no. You know what I mean?
And it sounds easy, and I'm sure it's not.
Exactly. It's like a great painter, Joe. You know, how does he do it? If you're watching him doing it, you say, I could do that. Till you try. And the same watching Modric.
Yeah.
You know, because what do you do in those positions, Joe? I'll just try and explain it to you in without having the television of that. The right back is on the ball, okay? Modric now is looking for the ball all the time. He gets near the right back, but he knows he can't have it. But in football, the ball has to go somewhere, right? So what Modric would be thinking, okay, I can't get it from him. Where is he going to pass it? So say he's going to pass it to the left back, right? What Modric would be doing, he would be running across to the left back while the ball is in the air.
Yeah.
Right, because what most players would do, they'd stay where they are and watch the ball in the air. He's moving while the ball's in the air. So when the left back gets it, he's only 10 yards, 15 yards away from him.
Yeah, ready to go.
Ready to go.
Listen, enjoyed that. You'll be watching the two semi-finals and then chatting to Nathan on Thursday, I'm sure. John, pleasure. Thanks a million.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power's Save Our Game. Donating at least 100,000 to Irish football via England Goals this summer. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.